where you had one reel here that had all that tape in there for the music, and then you had this reel over here that caught what was on this side, and you had to reel it to get it started, and then it would play. What was in the middle is what was playing, which was on the tape, right? So I would see it, and you know how, you know, it's like spokes, you know, it goes like this. So I'd have a pencil, and I don't know how many of those reels that I messed up with my dad's. So I figured that's why they can't, they see, I can't tell y'all anything. My wife just looks at me like, no wonder why he's that way. He's always doing it now. But how many times have you found things that intrigue you and you just want to try it, right? You just want to say, what will happen if? What will happen if I stick this thing into that thing? I wonder what will happen. Well, it's like many of us Christians today, we try everything believing that God is telling us to try it. Because it looks good. I did that how many times, Mom? Lord. The thinning comes from that. Trying so many things that God didn't tell me to try. Just thought I should try it. So I said, God, I don't want to do that. I want you to tell me what I'm supposed to do. I want to be who you called me to be. I want to do what you've told me to do. And I don't want to deviate from it. So he says, well, do you ever have issues with pain? Today I faced it. When my son drowned and he died, he was 13 months old, and I wasn't there when he drowned, and I carried that guilt with me because I didn't kiss him goodbye that morning. So one of the things I told God was, on the drive to the hospital, if you let him see me, that I was there, then if you take him, take him. But God, if you give him back to me, you have me forever. So I carried this guilt. I'm telling you, this happened today. Today I went and registered my son for something that my God blessed me so much. So much. You know, my daughter looked over at me and she said, why are you such a big baby? You got to understand my relationship with my daughter. And I'm in the office. I didn't want to share it there. But so I left the office. I said, I'm going to go move my car around because I was in the back. And the whole way over there, I was like, God, thank you. Because you redeemed my shame and my guilt. Because you made a way where I didn't think it was a way possible. And to see the joy on my son's face today. And to see hope reinstilled in his life like never before. I said, God, you heard my cry back then. But more importantly, you heard his. And I've carried this thing. He says, I'm trying to tell you I need to get rid of that. that's what's keeping you from getting to the next level, is your own guilt. It's not a sin. It was something that had me bound. And I told you that I would always be transparent with you. So today I saw it in his face. I saw it in his eyes. And I knew, God, you did it. You did it. You answered his cries. And you removed my guilt. See, when God works, he works in multiples. So I took my son to go have lunch. And this is how I know God is in a lot of details. I only had a few dollars in my pocket. My wife gave me $2, and Josh had $3 in his pocket. So, I say this, watch. So they were going one way, we were going to go the other, so I could get here early. So me and Josh go to this one restaurant. If you know my son Josh, his favorite food is enchiladas. So the lady says, we have specials today. And I was like, specials? Okay, maybe we can do this, Josh. Instead of eating bean and cheese, maybe you're going to eat good. She says, we have all-you-can-eat enchiladas. I said, okay. So he ordered that. We sat there, we're talking. He's telling me, Dad, what are you going to preach on today? And I looked at him, I said, removing guilt and shame. So the food comes. And he starts eating, and I'm watching him. And I could see that joy back in his eyes. Many of you do not understand what I'm saying. But my son had a hard time in school. I have prayed numerous and numerous times. Believe God for great miracles. In these past 2 weeks is something that my wife has been researching. And today was the very answer that my son needed. It was the answer that I needed to remove guilt and shame from me. So when I got here today, I dropped him off at home, and I came in and I said, Lord, you're so good that even when you reveal what's deep, you do it in love. You do it in love. It blessed me so much. So I began to put my message together. So I want to encourage you. What he did here, that was because he was doing for me, and he wanted to do for many. So when you begin to sing about that, I was going to talk about having to remove the broken, tattered wings, as an eagle has to remove it in order to soar even higher. So I believe that God wants to prepare us for soaring to different heights so we can get beyond where we've ever been. But in order for us to do it, we have to acknowledge it. It has been such a blessing in this short 2 hours, I should say 2.5 hours that I spent with him watching him. He told me when I was dropping him off, he said, Dad, I'm going to do it. He says, and then I'll know what I'm going to do with my career. Isn't that something? When you don't know what you want to do, then God brings you an answer to one of the problems that you have, that now all of a sudden you have vision for a future. Let me say it again. You may be facing an obstacle right now, but don't understand what your future holds for you until God brings the answer to your obstacle. Now you have sight for your future. Do you understand that? You see, you can only see so far unless you remove the obstacles that are in your life. And when you remove those obstacles that are in your life, he can make you see further than you've ever seen before. He may have to give you an answer for that issue right now, but then you can begin to see clearer for where you're going. Today was that day. And I thank God. And I praise God for that. So get your Bibles if you would. I promise I'm not going to keep you here too long. I believe God did what he wanted to do. I just want to put the word on what just happened. Amen. The reference will be 2 Samuel, and you can write this down. 2 Samuel 11, verses 1 through 21. 2 Samuel 11, verses 1 through 21. You don't have to read it. This is the story of Bathsheba and David. Okay? Let me paraphrase this, and then I'll get into the actual message. But I gave you a reference of where I'm going to take this from. You know that King David was supposed to be out on the fields during this battle, but he wasn't. He was actually back at the palace. During this time, it's springtime. And because it's springtime, Bathsheba is outside bathing herself. David glances over and he begins to lust for her. Well, that wasn't the sin yet. The sin was not doing and being what he was supposed to be that would have kept him from sinning. Do you understand? I'll read verse 1 and then I'll just kind of paraphrase the rest. Verse 1 says, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Raba, but David remained in Jerusalem. That's just verse 1. So where was the sin? He stayed behind. He should have been at the battlefield. What I'm trying to tell you is if you don't deal with the issues that you need to deal with, you'll get caught up in some sin in your life and you won't even realize it, thinking that it's just something natural to do. You got to be in the place that God has called you to be when you're supposed to be there and not be running here and there to and fro just because you feel like it. No, see, they don't want to. We, as the people of God, are called to a territory. We're called to a shepherd. And when we're called to a shepherd, we're called to a location so that we can be led in a direction that he wants us to go. You follow that? But if you're not where you're supposed to be, you're going to wind up falling into some pitfalls. Okay? That's just verse 1. Verse 2. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. And David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him and slept with her. Now she was purifying herself from her monthly uncleanliness. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David saying, I am pregnant. Just within those two verses, there are so many issues that arose. She should have never been with. She should have never been with Uriah the Hittite, first of all. David should have never sent word to inquire of. Can I bring it into today's vernacular? Okay. There's many times that someone may catch your eye. Okay. Or should I put it in another way? There's many things that will catch your eyes. Was that better? Is that easier? Is that easier to digest? Okay. There's many opportunities that will present itself. Okay. The moment that you give attention to it, instead of inquiring of God first, you've already fallen and missed the mark. Okay, let me say it again. Trying to help us as we grow, in order for us to get over or in order for us to get over and cross over to the other side, that other side is not our freedom. That other side is to a new place that God has for us. Okay? That means each and every individual has a destiny in their life and purpose in their life. Your job is to pursue after the thing that God has told you to do and stay on that course. Do not detour from it. Are you with me? So what do you think the trick of the enemy is for you? To get you off track, to make you detour. So obstacles are presented to you, correct? Well, David should have been someplace else. He would have never seen that, right? So that's where he started missing the mark. So the next thing is when he saw her, okay, it's one thing. God makes us beautiful, gorgeous, thank you, for a reason. For a reason. He wants us to be admired by others, but not to be lust after. Do you understand? Don't tell me you don't see a good-looking man like Josh standing over here with a guitar, and I say, man, that is one fine-looking young man. Right, Colleen? Right, Colleen? All right. Okay, watch this. Or, you know, walk in to a place and see the fine-looking Inez and say, she is something else. All right. But here's the thing. He gives us that so that we can admire one of another, so that we can give compliments to one another. Do you understand? It's when we take it beyond that. Okay? When you take it beyond that, you've already started to go down the path that you shouldn't went. Now, let's talk to some of the married men in here. Married men, can you raise your hand? Raise your hand. Okay. Okay, we got it? Okay, I need to make sure everybody got it. Okay, all right. Now, when you got married, there was a beautiful piece of jewelry that was put on your finger. It's called a magnet. It's a magnet. Because that magnet attracts... All right, now let's say it again. That ring is a magnet that attracts. Oh, hold up now. I'm about to get to you women in just 1 minute. Because, man, you know, once you put that ring on, you're like, that's it. You know, I'm married. It don't stop them. They come all the time because you got the magnet. Take the magnet off, and you're looking for someone to give me any kind of attention. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's that movie, what is it called? Lord of the Rings, when he puts it on. You know. But anyhow, it's a magnet. Why is it a magnet for other women towards married men? Because they say somebody sees something good in them that I don't have to weed out to find. They already got something good. They already housebroken. Okay. Meaning that. Okay, hold up. There are some good qualities that the wife has already instilled in the husband that the other woman is looking for herself. So let's switch over now. Are you going to help me? You're just going to watch me. I mean, come on, handsome, fine looking stud of a man. You come on, play. Now listen. Why are you turning red, Josh? Look, let's talk about the women now. Now that the women have got a ring on their finger, men do look and they do come. When they don't come and you say, there ain't nobody hitting on me, you got to get out the house. You got to be someplace. I'm just going to go here. But because you get married doesn't mean you don't get fixed up and dressed up just because you already got what you wanted. I think I is talking, because you should not be going to H-E-B with your chanclas and your pajamas with the curlers on. Haven't even brushed your teeth yet. And then you get to H-E-B and you're like, ain't nobody looking at me. Well, why do you think they're not looking at you? The reality is, we got some married women that don't know their, going H-E-B in their stilettos and the mini, and going to the lower shelf to get what they want. Because they like to be looked at. If we don't have the balance, it's easy for the enemy to come in. David should have been someplace else at war, not warring against his spiritual flesh. He should have been warring against flesh out in the field. But the reality is, he should have never looked over and admired and then inquired. You first admire something, but then if you inquire about it, you have already bought into it. What did Jesus say? If you even look at a woman in a lustful way, it is like you've already committed adultery. Oh, sucky. Now, hold up now. I'm going to put these blinders on. So David had committed the sin by looking over already. When he inquired, it was already in the act. Do you understand? So you start thinking about David. He's already like David, a man after God's own heart. Right? Now we know the story of David, that when he died, the one way they could tell whether he was really alive or dead, they put a naked woman, virgin, in the bed. You need to understand this. They understood his... Listen here. They understood his character. His character. You see, what you tend to do on a habitual basis shows your character. It shows your character. You keep on doing it. You can hide it all you want, but your actions will always tell you who you really are. David, yes, he was a worshiper. He was a lover of God. He knew how to worship God, but he knew something about the grace and mercy of God too. Okay, so now you see that he goes and he tries to cover up the very issue. Okay? So she's pregnant. Should have never happened. Did what they did. Now here comes something that he's got to try to cover up. You see the guilt that is trying to be covered up in that very action. And now all of this that transpires, you read down to verse 21, then her husband gets killed in battle that he orchestrated for him to kill, so becomes now a murderer as well. So all these things because he wasn't in the place that he should have been. Verse 1 says, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent somebody else. He should have went. I'm telling you, you need to be where God tells you to be. Quit playing around. Quit playing around. Pastor, I liked it when you were crying because you took the focus off of me. It was on you. Just a crybaby. That's what I am. But listen, we got to be where God wants us. Because in that, there's where the blessing is. Because if you're not where you're supposed to be, you've been detoured off of the path that God has for you. Doesn't mean he can't get you there. Just means you're going to delay it. You're going to delay it. Amen? Now, so I go through, if you go through and read Samuel 11, verses 1 through 21, you read that whole story about, you know, David and Bathsheba. Now, here's the thing that I want to share with you tonight. The hidden obstacles from within, guilt and shame, that keep us from crossing over. Before we can deal with guilt and shame, what is guilt? Guilt is the dread of the past a pain that wells up within our heart because we committed an offense or failed to do something right. It is like that of a phantom pain with someone that has an amputee and an organ that's been, a limb that's been amputated. They have phantom pains. What does that mean? Is that it wants attention. Do you understand? So your guilt and your shame is going to call to you at times of your vulnerability. Your guilt and your shame will call to you at times of your vulnerability. Guilt is one of the most crippling diseases among people today. Psychiatrists and doctors say that the unresolved guilt is the number one cause of mental illness and suicide. It prompts millions of Americans to gulp down pills to tranquilize their anxiety. So I'm doing all this research for this message tonight, and I'm like, Lord, thank God I didn't go down that road. Thank God I didn't go down that road. Right? Right? And then he reminded me of other pains. He said, look back where you've been, that you didn't know that you also had some other things that resulted from your pain. We run to certain things. Guilt will cause many to run or escape to other forms of coping with guilt. Here's one of them. Overcompensating based on past experiences. Overcompensating based on past experiences. What is that? All right, say that daddy was a bad daddy in your life, and you grew up not having a father that knew how to love you, take care of you, but was always just in and out of your life. So what do you do when you get older and you have your kids? You overcompensate on your kids and become the smothering type because daddy wasn't the one in your life. So you overcompensate on your children, and you become like what we would call the mother hens. The ones that just hover over them. That just hover over their kids. Mama would always watch out because she didn't want me to get hurt. So, being the only child at home, I was causing all kinds of havoc. Right? She's like, yeah. But the overcompensating was, I don't want you to get hurt. You're my only. Right? Now, her overcompensating was my overcompensating. I don't want to be left alone. She'd always tell me, I don't want anybody in the house. Well, I'm not home. You got about 30 minutes before I get home from work when you get home from school. I don't want anybody in the apartment. It's one of those true stories. Josh, I'm one of those kids that I listen every time. I listen to how much time I have. So I knew that she'd be getting home 4 o'clock. I had from 3:30 to 4 o'clock. She worked just right across the street. I walked from across the street to the apartment. That's just elementary. I'm not little. And this is different back in the day where you could let your kids out. Okay? Now, me knowing that she's going to be coming home, I have all older friends. I mean, older friends. They were in middle school and some were in high school. We live in a two-bedroom apartment. Remember Canlon West on West Avenue? Okay. So I had my friends. We were on the first floor. Mom comes home 5 minutes earlier. We all run into my room. There's 6 of them plus me. She knew. She was just waiting to get outside. One of the things she told me was, look, if I find that you have somebody, and I was going to take you swimming today, I was going to take you to the pool so you can go swim, but now you're not going to go. Right? So crying. Now listen. So I overcompensate. I always want to have people around me because I was tired of being alone. Overcompensating, right? So I hide all these guys. They're older than me. They're older than me. And so they're testing me. I'm more afraid of her than I am all these kids. So one of them wants to get, well, I'm going out there. I don't care what your mom says. Here I am, little kid fighting this big kid in my room, and she's already in the house. So remember Roger walks out? Remember Roger? He comes out. She goes, who? Marty! Oh, Lord. Where did he go? Well, because he lived in the apartment complex thinking, well, we're friends. It's okay. I got in trouble because he wasn't supposed to be there. Anyways, I had him all. Next thing you know, good thing was distraction. So we're dealing with this. I'm getting in trouble. They're all climbing out the windows from and running down the street, right? I remember this plain as day. Mom says, okay, yeah, I was going to take you. She was mad. She was mad. And I know she really wanted to get me. Oh, but I already started crying. I started crying before she even did anything. I was crying. So Roger gets out. He goes across the little area right there of the apartment. He goes home. I'm left to deal with Mom. All these other guys jumped out of that window and they took off. And I am so scared. Mom is going to beat me. That's it. Mom's going to. She said, that finger. I don't know about these women. She pointed that finger at me. That was it done. I was done crying the whole time. But here the thing is, protective, overcompensating for me because I'm the only. I overcompensate. I don't like being the only. I had to have people around me. Do you see what happens? It causes us to do things that we know we shouldn't do. Do you understand? Now, for a mom, she overcompensated in loving me, protecting me, everything, which made me, I need to have someone with me because I'm tired of being alone here at the house for so long, 30 minutes. So do you see what I mean? So what happens is we have a guilt or shame. We overcompensate in some areas, and we want to have people around us. Or for others is we have to be overly protective. Okay? So you got to deal with these things. The other one is self-indulgence in fantasy realms. Self-indulgence in fantasy realms. Sexual, lying, exaggerated truths for acceptance. Now, the sexual fantasies is to escape. To escape, okay? Because of guilt or shame from previous relationships. And then the other one is lying, the exaggerated truth for acceptance. You understand that? Have you ever been around someone that always has to exaggerate the truth? Because they want you to say, wow, that's amazing. Oh, my God, really? Wow, you did that. And it's only a half-truth. But they're always exaggerating about themselves. If you ever want to be around someone and find out about if they're telling the truth or not, just let them do all the talking and the truth will come out. You ever been around someone that talks a lot? They'll talk themselves into the truth. Just listen. It'll make them so nervous they'll keep talking. The truth will come out. So it happens. Okay. Okay, well, this one's good. Full of zeal to start new things but never finish. That's how we overcompensate. Because there's some guilt there or some shame there that we've never accomplished anything, so we want to try new things, but we never finish them. I said, Lord, have I done that? A whole bunch of times. So I started seeing, man, God, you're delivering me with just the message. Do you understand? You go back and look over the things in your life, and you're like, wow, I started this, started that, didn't finish that. But I started it, didn't finish it. I don't want to do that no more, God. I want to make sure that what I start is what you asked me to do so that I can finish it the way I started it. Do you understand? How do we relieve the pain of guilt? Psalms 32, if you would turn there. Psalms 32, and I'm going to begin to close. And I'll pick this up next week. Is it all right if we teach on Wednesday? It's okay? I think this will help us here. How do we relieve the pain of guilt? Psalms 32, out of the NIV, reads this way, verse 1. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, watch this, verse 3, When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was snapped as in the heat of summer. Then, verse 5, then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble. Surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have understanding, but must be controlled by a bit and a bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you're righteous. Sing, all who are upright in heart. Psalms 38:4 reads, my guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. Psalm 38:4. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. See, guilt can get you to the point where you are so broken. It produces pain in your body, sleepless nights. It is so heavy on you, you begin to look at God like his hand is on you, pressing you down, which in reality, it's your guilt that is bringing you down. Do you understand that? So what has happened to many believers today is they carry something, they don't know where it's from until God reveals it, but throughout their course of their walk in God, they'll put their frustrations on God, but they don't know where it's coming from. Because this is what David said right here. David's the one that's writing these Psalms. David is writing these Psalms knowing that I have committed sin. I've committed a transgression. There's some iniquity in my life, but it feels like your hand is weighing heavily on me. That's what David said. He's saying that God is weighing his hand heavy on him. It wasn't God. It was his guilt and his shame. Because God wants to remove that. Now that we have Jesus that has died for our sins and he covers our sins, what's the first thing we have to do? First thing we have to do? We have to acknowledge, we have to admit we're a sinner, right? So with the guilt and shame, we have to admit we have it. We have to admit our guilt. Once we admit our guilt, that's like saying, God, I acknowledge I'm a sinner. We have to admit it. We have to admit our guilt. Psalms 32:5. You're already on Psalm 32, but verse 5 says, then I acknowledge my sin to you. I acknowledge it. We have to admit it. If we don't admit it, we're never going to accept it. We're never going to own it. We're always going to put it off on other people. Haven't you ever been around people that when they make mistakes, they blame everybody else? Right? Isn't it just irritating? Would you just own your actions? Right? Is what you want to tell them? You know it's you, but you keep putting it off on everybody else. Just own it. It's so bad you want to tell them, you know, that's your fault, right? Right? You want to tell them that? You know it's your fault. It's your fault. Not my fault, your fault. And then as you're telling them that, God reminds you, what about your faults? Aye. Okay. Right? So we have to admit it. It's like when you go to a Alcoholics Anonymous, right? They tell you, when you first end up, hi, my name is, and I'm a, right? What are they saying? They're admitting there's an issue there. I'm owning it. I'm owning that. If you come through a process of deliverance with me and my wife here, I will tell you, you're going to acknowledge it, and then you're going to get rid of it. You understand? Because the last thing you're going to do is keep confessing it over your life. Amen? You don't keep saying, I am, when you're not. That's why many of them stumble and fall and go back because they keep confessing it. I will tell you, acknowledge, repent, and get rid of it. Okay? So you admit it, you're owning it, and then you confront it. Verse 5 of Psalms 32, it says, I did not conceal my iniquity. He stopped trying to hide it. He didn't want to hide it anymore. He told God, all right, I messed up. I've gone through so much of this. I've been trying to fix it this whole time. But I can't carry this no more. So God, I'm not going to conceal it. Here it is. Here it is. Haven't you been in that place where you want God to just show you everything that he wants you to deal with? And then you think it's going to be a long old list, right? And it's one thing. Can you imagine if he was to give you the laundry list of that needs to be cleaned? I think we'd be overwhelmed. But the reality is, we're the ones that bring the list to him. God, I've done this, I've done this, I've done that, I've done this, I've done that. And then you go and come back 2 days later. Lord, I did this again, I did that again, I did this one again, I did this again. Well, when are you going to repent and turn away from it and not do it again? Right? It's by acknowledging it, owning it, and saying, that's it, I'm not going to do it no more. Help me to deal with it. Now, however he decides to do it, is he knows what's going to work with you. You understand? See, I love it when God delivers me himself. And so, I've gone through deliverances where people are convulsing, people are squirming, slithering, contorting, speaking in a deep voice like I've never heard in my life, with the screeching and the foul smell that I never want to smell again. I say, God, I don't want to go through a deliverance like that. He goes, then just give it to me. They're fighting it because they've given control over to it. You see what I mean? I got delivered sitting in an office from my guilt and shame, just looking at my son with his joy and getting hope instilled once again. That's a good kind of deliverance. Now, I didn't need no trash can by my side. I didn't need... You know, I attack religious mindsets for a reason, right? There's a lot of people go through churches, they get hurt because they see so many things that they want to make it seem like that's how it's supposed to be done. Where they got to bring out the trash can because, okay, now I want you to start coughing. Start coughing so you can get it up. I want you to start cough. And then you're going to throw it up. Throw what up? My saliva? You made me gag so I could throw up, and then you're going to tell me I'm delivered. I've seen so many things over the church history that I've no wonder why so many people have fallen away from church. Especially charismatic churches. For some of y'all, it was a little bit much for y'all when my wife started chatting. I've had people from they've been in ministry a long time, and they didn't understand it. They tried to rebuke her for it. And she left confused and wounded. I said, oh, no. It's better for someone that doesn't understand to keep their mouth shut or say, you know what, I don't know, than to tell you something shooting from the hip. Each time that my wife would begin to chat, the Lord would tell me, I'm moving in the era of healing. It's okay, but tell me what, God. Tell me what, so I can release it in the atmosphere. We need to have understanding. And all our getting, get understanding. So when I would see so many things going on in the church like that, I was like, God, I don't want to be the fruity church. I don't want to be the Fruit Loops and the Special K's. I want to be the one that you say, this is what I'm doing. Let them test the spirit. Let them discern whether it's me. See, my biggest thing is, God, if you're going to get the glory, you can do it in their seats. You can do it right here. You can do it however you want. I'm going to pick this up next week. Is this okay? This training class that I'm going to do on Thursday nights on February, we're going to also include deliverance portion in our prophetic class. And one of the things is to understand. Can you stand, Mom? Can you stand? Oh, God, help me with this before. You know that the Bible says, do not lay hands hastily on someone. Okay, so many people get bound by that thinking that we're going to transfer something that's demonic. I don't want you to give me all that stuff. I don't want to leave here with whatever you have. There is the healing by the laying on of hands. There is the impartation by the laying on of hands, right? And then there is also that of a renewing that takes place of your spirit, okay, by the stirring up of the gifts, okay? None of that can you get anything of what you would call my sin, my demons, my evil, whatever, transferred over. You're not going to. Because the purpose behind everything is an honor to Jesus. Amen? That's the move of that. Now, here's the thing that you got to be careful of. Just kind of come up here, Will. Okay, here we are. We're in the service. We're moving. Things are happening. Now, all of a sudden, let's come over here. Now I'm moving in this. This is just a quick little learning tip for you. Just a quick little learning tip. All right. Why don't you put your right hand on the girl right there in front of you with the red shirt. Red shirt, right there in the middle. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for her right now. In the name of Jesus, I thank you. When I looked over at her, there was the angel that was standing right there that said, I've got you, I've heard you, and in your cry and your worship tonight, I heard your very decree. I need you to come through in my life. I need this breakthrough right now. I need that shift in my life right now. I saw that angel standing there saying, baby, I've got you in my hands, and I'm about to do something great and mighty in your life, that you're about to know that it is the Spirit of the living God moving on your behalf. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus, I declare unto you to be loosed out of every oppression and every spirit that's trying to hold you back. I loose you into your prophetic destiny, into your breakthrough right now in Jesus' mighty name. Loose and let go right now into a prophetic future now in Jesus' mighty name. Bless her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, oh God. Thank you now in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo. Hallelujah. God bless you, beloved. God bless you. God bless you. Get up by her. Hug on her. Hug on her. Hug on her by her. Get up by her. Get up on her. Get up and hug on her. Just hug on her. Release that love on her. Release that love. Release that love. I saw that angel wrapping his arms all around her. My God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wow. Yes, Lord. Have your very way, Lord. There is that healing that is right there. It's resident right there. My God. Oh, you're so good, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. My. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Now bless her, oh God. Blow, oh God. I'll breathe life, oh God. Life into her ministry. Life into the very things that you called her to do. Life, oh God, into her house. Life into her children. Life, oh God. Life. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. Grab her by the hand. Grab her by the hand. Right there. Can you stand her up with you? Can you stand her up with you? Can you stand her up with you right there, huh? Look at me, baby. Look at me. My God. You are worthy. You are worthy. I hear the Lord saying that I watched you. I've kept you in my hand. you began to experience that fire within your belly, and it started to come up into your chest. And everything that was deep down inside, I hear fear being removed. Fear being removed. But he has given you faith that will move mountains. Faith that as you begin to speak, it'll create healing in the atmosphere. You have desired to see the supernatural of God, and that you will begin to see great and mighty works by the hand of God on your life. Now, Hannah, I want you to put your hands on her shoulder right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you right now for the impartation of the worshiper that she is. God, I thank you that you instill in her the grace and the glory of God to bring about a great revival in her generation. God, I thank you for her, that out of her mouth will come like fire that was shut up in her bones, that it shall go forth, it shall divide and separate, and it will bring people into the knowing knowledge of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for the vision. I thank you, Father God, for the dreams. I thank you for the interpretation, oh God. I thank you right now. Fill her up! Fill her up! In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory to God! Glory to God! My. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Jealousy that has surrounded you by many that have misunderstood you is broken off of your life. My God. She shares in your pain what you've gone through. She's experienced the same thing. My. Woo, Lord, I thank you for the freedom right now. My God, I thank you for the freedom. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, you're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy. My. Hallelujah. Woo. God, you're so good. You're so good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Michelle, February is going to be the day of unlocking for you. February will be the month for you that you'll see things come into fruition in your life. There will be a settling that is necessary, that will be established, and you'll know that God has heard you. He's watched you. You've been faithful. You've been asking. Matter of fact, you've not only been asking, you've been putting a demand on him like never before. I see you walking and putting a demand on him. Telling him, God, I can't do it like this. If this ain't right, God. He says, I've heard it, and I'm bringing it to a close. I will establish it. February will be your month for you. You shall see it come to pass, says the Spirit of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo! My. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, God, you're so good. Oh, you're so good. Hallelujah. My. Woo. Oh, God, you're so good. Hey. Oh. God. Woo. This is your year. Every wilted petal that had blossomed and that was wounded, that was trying to be resuscitated back, God says, let me just remove the pain. Let me remove all of the memories of the pain, shame, guilt, because you are about to blossom, beloved. I have to remove the old in order for you to spring forth and to blossom into the newness that I've created you to be. You're not even the same person anymore. You see things different. You're responding different. The heart has been made pliable where it was once hard and stony. Now is made pliable. I see the hand of God has been massaging your heart to make things new in your life. This is your year, girl. This is your year. Hallelujah! My God! Hey! Woo! Ah. Hallelujah! Lord, I thank you right now. I thank you that tonight, Lord, you have spoken. I thank you that you graced us, Lord, with your very presence, that we don't take it for granted, that we don't come so accustomed to it, Lord, that we become numb to it. No, Lord, let us always be in awe of you. Let us always give our heart unto you with such gratitude for what you're doing. Lord, we thank you that tonight you've interrupted and you've done what you wanted to do. But you allowed, Father God, even the word to go forward, to be what we're supposed to be, so that we don't fall into things that we're not supposed to fall into. Tonight was ordained for those that are here tonight, so that I could deal with the deep-rooted issues and bring life unto you, says the Spirit of God. Lord, I just thank you right now for what you're doing. I praise your mighty name for what you're about to do in the lives of your people, your children, Lord. We're not servants, God. We are not servants. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And because you love us so much, you are a jealous God. You will not let any foul and unclean spirit to come our dwelling. And Father, I thank you that you stand and you have your angels stationed all around us to guard us and protect us. But Father, I thank you for your blood, my God, that will drive every demon, every devil out of here, out of our lives, out of our finances, out of our health, out of our children. Lord, I even thank you that, Lord, you have covered us with the multitude, Father God, of what we are about to do, God. You keep us and you direct us in your path, Lord. I thank you, God, in Jesus' mighty name. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, you're worthy, you're worthy. We can stand to our feet. Just stand to our feet, please. Ooh. Thank you, Jesus. As we close in prayer, let us not leave here the same way. Let us not leave here the same way. Lord, we didn't come to play church. We thank you that you have spoken. Right now, with every eye closed and every head bowed, please. That we can honestly say together as a family, Lord, we acknowledge that maybe we've missed the mark somewhere along the way. We can acknowledge, Lord, it may have caused us to do some things that we shouldn't have done. Lord, we acknowledge, Lord. Lord, we own it. We said, that's it. We're not going to hide the iniquity. We're not going to hide the shame or the guilt. Whatever the case may be, God, you know them. They know you. But you know them better than they know themselves. So, Lord, tonight we just thank you right now that we believe in our heart that you are the Lord of our life, that you reign supreme, that you died for our sins, and you resurrected for our eternal life. And that by your stripes we are already healed. And we're made whole. Emotionally, spiritually, and physically. So Father, we just thank you right now. That we are new creatures in you. We thank you that we walk in the newness that you have for us. And we thank you, God, that tonight, if this is the first time we've ever acknowledged that you're Lord in our life, we thank you that every angel in heaven is rejoicing right now, because we confess with our mouth and believe with our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. So Lord, we just thank you right now. We thank you for everything that you've already done. And we thank you that you've given us the grace and the mercy to walk out this path before us. So Father, we bless what you've done. We bless what you're doing. And we wait expectantly for what you're about to do. So we thank you for it now, in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. Come on, come on. Give him a hand clap. Give him a shout. Thank him for everything that he's already done. Come on, come on. We're new creatures in him. New creations. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys so much. As the gatekeepers, the ushers are getting ready to hand out the envelopes for your tithes and your offering. Whew, what a night. What a night. We were telling somebody the other day, it's like when people would come into the church, they would say, why do you have all those tissue boxes? And then they leave and carrying all the tissue in their hands. Did you get your answer? Yeah. But sometimes you have me laughing and then you have me crying. Y'all should give out Tylenol on the way out. I was like, wow, we used to come in and say, oh, my God, we need more tissue boxes. Like, oh, my God, almost every chair has tissue, you know. But in his presence, sometimes all you can do is cry. All you can do is cry. And then there's times that he'll get you in that holy laughter. Oh, my God, that's hilarious. That hit the house one time, and oh, Lord. That was hilarious. It was a beautiful night. But I believe that what God is doing in these last days, he's going to allow us to experience more of heaven here on earth. Amen. So I encourage you to continue moving forward and doing the things of God. Before you do anything, always ask God, am I in the right place? And if I'm not, get me to where I need to be. Amen. Because I could easily say, no, you're in the right place. Stay here. That's not biblical. You need to be where you need to be. Amen. And if this isn't the place, hurry up and find your place. That's the honest truth. Thank God that we can allow the Spirit to move. Amen. Try and go to the next slide, please. Okay, the School of Prophecy, Thursdays, February 4th, 11th, 18th, 25th, will be here at 7 o'clock. If you're registering for the first time, it's $40. It's $10 per class is what it is. But if you've gone through once already, it's free. Okay, we do take teenagers 13 on up is what I think. Yeah, it was like teenagers all the way up. Okay. come on and experience it. We've had the teenagers in here just prophesying left and right. So it's a blessing. Come. It's fun. It's exciting. You're not going to be intimidated because you're in a good spot. Okay, it's a healthy place for you to learn. Okay, we're also going to be doing a little bit of teaching on how to discern the demonic. Okay, not to teach you to go looking for it. You don't go look for it. When you sense something, it's to discern, is that God or is it demonic? You understand? We're gonna go into some of that, teach some of that as well. I talked to Pastor Rick from Emmanuel Worship Center. Baruch Hashem, he's got people that are in that Messianic congregation that are prophesying now as a result to some of the classes. So there's a lot of excitement going on. So we're going to have it here this in February, and then probably the next class we'll do will be when we come back from Kenya. Now, if you could go to the next slide. All right. That's me barbecuing. All right. January 30th. That's going to be that Saturday from 9 to 3. And I say 9 o'clock for the grillers. Those that are going to help grill. And then we're going to be doing chicken, sausage, rice, and beans for $7. This is for our Africa mission trip. What is a mission trip? Myself and Elder will be going to Africa to actually teach this prophetic class to the ministers and leaders and pastors over there in Kenya that we know. And then we will be ministering at Betox Church, which is the tent that holds, I think he said, 1,500. 3,000 or 4,000 people. And then I'll do the Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday hour lunch services. That hour lunch is 600 people to get there. They give up their hour lunch, and that praise and worship is insane. I told you the story. The first time I got there was, you got to climb. There ain't no elevators. You climb stairs. Third floor, and I had my big old backpack. The guy said, let me get that for you, Pastor. Let me get that. Okay. And I heard the music. I ran upstairs. And I got in there and said, yeah, it was just nuts. Now, you see how your knees are not touching the seats in front of you? Okay. Once you get there, it's like that. But once people start filling in, They start stacking those chairs to get that many people in there. The anointing in that place is phenomenal. So I can't wait to get back there. So we're going to spend that first time there. And then we'll do most of our actual ministering is going to be on the compound. So we don't have to go face the spiders and the snakes and all that. So hallelujah. It was crazy. Now, here's the other thing that is a blessing to us. We don't have to worry about all that security detail as much by going out. It's crazy. I ain't lying. Some of y'all say, I'm going to go to Africa. Okay. Okay, you better know you're called to go. Because this is some stuff, okay? But this is what we're doing. We're raising funds for that so that we can go. That's going to be, we'll be leaving on March 6th to go. So it's going to be a lot of ministering. So we need a lot of prayer, please. So if you can make it out, if you see Baya, would you please stand, please? Baya is back there. Do you still have tickets? She has. Wow. Wow. Amen. Amen. Oh, we need the other stuff that we need for the actual date. So the donation, the $10 donations you're talking about, make sure you see a buyout on the way out so you can do that because we got to get the meat and all that. This last Sunday we did hamburgers, chips, and a soda, and some of that money is going to purchase some of the food. This coming Sunday we're having picadillo, rice and beans, salsa. Oh, Lord. We're going to have a Holy Ghost throwdown. Again, that's to go towards this so that we can raise money for the trip. Okay, guys? I appreciate you guys so much. My wife and I have been praying, and I've been experiencing some things in the mornings that I know God is speaking. He is speaking these things for the church as us, as the house of manna, and where he's taking us. So I'm excited about it. I pray that you guys stay prayed up, excited about it. These things that are transpiring here in the house will transpire in your life. Amen? Amen. All right. If you have your envelopes ready for the offering, all right. Hallelujah. Please, thank you. I don't know who this is. I don't know who this is. I heard it. That's the Lord revealing it. Trust me, it's not a gift that I asked for. When churches ask for money,